been here for the last few months, you know that we're going through the book of Mark. And for about the last 2.5 months, we're still in the verse 21. So we got a long way to go. So just get ready. Hallelujah. Well, we have a service in New Life Church that it's a text messaging service that sends people a text message, what we're going to preach about. Well, sometimes it gets there, sometimes it doesn't. You know, our lovely Joanna, she was my administrator, she was doing all that stuff, and now she is interning in Colorado, Denver, Colorado, for a very cool newspaper. And so pray for her. She is going to be writing about music stars. So some of you, Ilya and Audrey and the rest of you seniors, you want to be good to her. Make sure you text her once in a while and say, how are you, Joanna? Maybe she can write a story on you or something. And anyway, so we send a text and, you know, tell people about how many of you got the text. Okay, if you didn't, in your bulletin there is a connection card. Please put your phone number, cell number, and we will put you on a list and you will receive a text message of what's going to happen in New Life Church a few days before. And somebody wrote back, and it was known to me that somebody wrote and said, we said, like, come and there's going to be a great sermon about the Jesus and demons and the power that a Christian has over demons, right? And somebody just wrote, who cares? Right? So it's like, they tell me this, and I look at it, and I'm like, whoa, who cares? And I'm like, do I know who this is?
Yeah, I do.
So my message is, who cares? Yeah. So they actually helped me with my message. They asked, who cares? And really, I thought about it, and why should you care about Jesus and demons? I mean, what is it all about? Why do we need to worry about demons? Right? So let's read our scripture for today and get right into the message. Amen? Today's the last message, so I hope it's going to be the best. Now, Jesus is beginning his public ministry. Hello? Jesus is beginning his public ministry, and he is starting to preach one of his first messages. And this is what the Bible says in Mark 1, 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, which is equivalent to our Sunday, he goes into the synagogue, which is equivalent to our church, and he teaches. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Listen, preaching should never be, say it, boring. Never. If I bored you, I have to stop. Notice, there was people who were teaching in their synagogues, but when Jesus came, something happened. He taught them as one having authority. He wasn't just discussing the Bible. He wasn't just, telling history. He taught him as one having authority, meaning he believed it. He knew he was real. He really believed it. Some of us read the Bible and we're like, oh, this demon stuff, it's not a real thing. It was dead, but now we discovered that it's just a mental sickness, and I don't disagree that there is mental sicknesses. However, there is demon possession as well. And Jesus believed it. And remember, he knows our psychology, he knows the building of human body, he knows everything, and he still believed it. So if Jesus was not ashamed to believe in demons, we shouldn't be either, and we're not. Thank God, New Life Church. And so he comes in there, and he starts preaching with authority. And there was a man in the synagogue, listen to this, with an unclean spirit. Notice, it wasn't just the spirit, it was unclean. Possibly sexual perversion, possibly molestation, possibly, and a lot of times demon spirits come to people, especially in childhood, through sexual abuse. You know that there is a lot of mental illnesses because of sexual abuse. And there are so many people, even in Christian families, who've been sexually molested or sexually abused, or rape, or things like that. And when Jesus started preaching, this man who had this unclean spirit, now don't let it freak you out, this is normal stuff, okay, we're not afraid, we're Christians, right? We have total adoption of spirit. We totally have Holy Spirit. Listen, means pure spirit, clean spirit. That's why when something in your mind tells you to do something unclean, that's an unclean spirit. When something in your mind tells you to do something good for somebody, that's a Holy Spirit. Amen? Help me out. So this man had an unclean spirit. He went to church all of his life, and he never dealt with it. He was suffering, he was in pain, because demon spirits, they don't just leave you alone. They don't just let you live your life peacefully. They want to torment you. They want to bring condemnation, doubt, fear, pain into your existence. How many of you know that emotional pain sometimes is greater than physical pain? Would you agree? Why do people cut themselves? So the emotion, so we will just bring a release to their emotions, so they start feeling pain in their physical body, because the emotional pain is heavy. Have you ever been so upset and it was so heavy that you rather pinch yourself? Have you ever been depressed? You're just slapping yourself because you're like, this hurts. And if hell is not physical but emotional, it hurts more than physical. Some people, well, hell is not physical. Okay, it's emotional, fine. Then it's worse. Being locked up in a dark room, hearing all the horrors and pain and screaming, never be able to breathe normally again, never be able to see nobody for eternity. It's horrible. Nobody wants to go there. That's why Jesus came. Some of you, God just doesn't love me. Yes, He does. If He gave Himself for you, He loves you. Bible says no greater love has anyone than this, than the one who laid down his life for his friends. So if Jesus Christ laid His life down for you, you better stop saying that God doesn't love you. Listen, let me announce this to you. God loves you as much as He loves His Son Jesus. It would be a sin for God not to love you. And God is a holy God, meaning He has no sin. You need to say to yourself, God loves me. Say, God loves me. Speak to yourself, say, God loves me. And whenever you feel depressed, whenever the devil says you're nothing, you're worthless, you need to stand in front of the mirror and say, God loves you. And if you have to say it 100 times, do it 100 times till you feel it. And once you feel it, and once you know it, no devil in hell will be able to lie to you. No devil in hell would be able to deceive you that God doesn't love you. He does. He loves you. Listen, do you think He loved Jesus? He loves you just as much as He loves Jesus. I want to say something. You might not like it. He loves you more than He loved Jesus. You give lesser for greater. God gave His Son, which is the most precious thing to Him, for us. So stop saying He doesn't love you. He loves you so much. Religion, you know, says you have to do something for God to love you. You didn't do anything 2,000 years ago. You were in your granny's tummy in great 1,000 generation or whatever, 100 generation, whatever, 250 generation, and He already knew you. He didn't wait for you to be good to love you. He loved you from the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. He breathed His life into your mother's womb and gave you life. Why weren't you aborted? Why didn't you die? Why didn't you, what is that called? When women miscarried. Why weren't you? Because God wanted you. God loved you enough to give you life. Somebody needs to hear this. You need to stop this. Stop saying, I have to be good, and then I'll come into God. God says, no, no, no. That's pride. Come to God the way you are. He loves you. He says, I'll give you freedom above anything that you can think of. You know why people do drugs? You know why people do alcohol? Because it gives them temporary freedom from their messed up life. The life is full. They're boxed in. They're in this prison. And Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. They're in this prison. And so when they drink, guess what happens? It loses them up. Yesterday we were at the party. and I said to my wife, I said, I feel drunk, and I didn't drink anything. And then as I was leaving home, the Holy Spirit started talking to me, and he said, that's the freedom I get. And he says, that's what they try to recreate, but it's temporary with many side effects. The freedom that the world gives is temporary with much side effects. It deteriorates your body, your liver, your bones, drugs messes with your mind, your psyche. And all it is for freedom that Christ came to give. I enjoyed myself yesterday. Did you see me? My dance? Oh man, I enjoyed myself. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't in my sound mind. I didn't need anything to loose me. I had Holy Spirit. Because Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what it is. It's not religion. Religion binds you up. You can't do that. But you can't dance. As long as if you lift your foot a half a foot from the ground, that's dancing, brother. If you tap your shoe, you know, when the music is playing, I'm preaching today. You hear me? And so, he came to set people free. Now, a question is, if Jesus were one of today's preachers, and he had to encounter a demon-possessed person, we would probably send him to a psychiatrist. Notice Jesus didn't do that. He didn't say, go to a doctor, brother. Carry him out. Put a spoon in his mouth. But Jesus said, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. And this unclean spirit cried out and said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? And Jesus is like, yes. Notice, demon, unclean spirit knows that Jesus came to destroy him. Okay? And then he says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Notice, unclean spirit is confessing of a Holy Spirit. He says, I know who you are, the Holy. What does that mean? Pure, clean, no sin, no dirt, no nothing, no sleaziness. No lying, no cheating, nothing. I know who you are. You're holy. So when that spirit comes in you and lives inside of you and you allow it to move in you, it'll make you like him. Garbage in, garbage out. Holy in, holy out. Pure in, pure out. Unclean in, your eyes are the doors to your soul. Your ears are the doors to your soul. Your taste buds could be the doors to your soul. Right? The door. How do you get to the man? Through his stomach, right? That's what they say. The door to a man is through his. Alright. Hallelujah. And so he says, you're the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him. And listen, be quiet. And come out of him. Notice it wasn't just, please come out of him. It was rebuke. What is a rebuke? He yelled at him. He yelled at him, so come out of him. So when we pray sometimes, you know why I have to yell. He said, come out. Sickness, come out. Disease comes out. Evil spirit, come out. You can't be there. Authority. Now, do I need to? No. But that's just for a person. To understand there's authority there. I'm not afraid. You're not afraid. Come out of him. An unclean spirit that convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice came out of him. Wow. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, who is this? And what new doctrine is this? Teaching is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. Spread about him. Who cares, right? Well, maybe you don't have a clean spirit, and most of you don't. Maybe there is, but all of you probably do not have an evil spirit inside. However, daily, on an everyday basis, you encounter evil spirits. You know it or not, you do. Maybe they don't devil doesn't show himself so vividly, so alive like he did. Plus, we have medication. How many of you know we have antidepressants? And what it does is helps people stay in control of their body. What it does is it numbs their body, so helps people stay in control. So the demonic things doesn't take over. However, most of us do deal with demonic spirit. You know that you probably heard demon spirits. You probably hear them every day. Have you ever wanted to do something good and something inside of you said, don't do it, they don't deserve it? Have you ever heard the spirit of God inside of you said, give to that person over there? And you said, okay, but then the devil said, no, don't give. Maybe you'll give next time, and things like that. Demons are assigned to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now, some of you say, well, I won't have nothing to do with the devil. He won't touch me. Well, have you ever seen a football game where offense were running a football and there was no defense to stop them? In a football game, what happens? When there's offense, there's always what? Defense. So it's not unless you took the ball and not running against your defense, against the, you know, the defense. You're running into their, what is that called? You know this better. Imagine if Brett Favre is supposed to throw that way, and he throws it to his enemy and says, just don't attack me. Here's the ball. Take it in. Did he do that? All right. It's stupid. You would laugh at that. If Brad would take a football and say, I'm tired of getting hit. I'm just tired. And here comes this big, you know, 400-pound guy. And he's like, here, you just don't hit me. Take it and run. Clear. He would not be playing a game after that game. He would be done. It is stupid for us to think that this life will not have opposition. You will have opposition. And that opposition comes not from God, but from the evil one. He came to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now, you might not catch him, but he will still come after you. Satan has declared war on humanity since Garden of Eden. And he's a trickster, and he's a liar, and he's a deceiver, and he brings fear and confusion. So why do we care? Because Bible says they're assigned towards us. Two, why do we care? Because Jesus came to set people free. And if we have the same spirit, we are to set people free. What are you telling me? You're going to be the person like in a story of a good Samaritan. How many of you know that? A priest just walked by a person who was hurting, who was beat up. That's a picture of the devil beating people up. There was a man going from Jericho, and thieves attacked him. Devil is a thief. Beat him up, took everything he had, left him naked, laying there with wounds. A priest walks by and says, I got to go to church and preach. Left him alone. Somebody else goes by, a Levite, worship leader. And he walks by and he says, too messy. And there was a Samaritan, just a simple man, who was not a preacher, who was not religious, just walks by, picks him up, takes him to the hotel, pays the man ahead of time to take care of him. And when I come back, I'm going to pay you more. See, a lot of us, we know people who are depressed. We know people who are oppressed. We know people who are struggling with suicide. And we're just like, it's too much work, you know. Just pray about it, sister. Just pray about it, brother. Too much. It's too messy. I don't want nothing to do with this. And Jesus said, Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captives free. Hallelujah. So if Jesus came to set them free, and he died for my life, meaning I'm to continue his life. How many of you know that you are to continue the life of Jesus? How long did Jesus live on this earth? Help me. 33. What happened? He was killed. Yes, he resurrected, but then he gave his spirit to his believers. So guess what? We continue the rest of his years that he didn't live. His life was cut short, so you can finish it. Now, if he didn't die, we would have one Jesus, and everybody would flock to like Mecca or Jerusalem and or try to search him and find him. But because he died and he gave us his spirit, everywhere there's Christians, there's Jesus. Amen. So you're just an extension of Jesus. Now, you might not have all the gifts that Jesus had, but you have a gift that he wants you to use for his glory. Amen. So, number two is that Jesus came to set people free. You must set people free. Three, demon spirits are liars. They're deceptive spirits. They are tricksters. They're here to bring fear and confusion to people's lives. And we're supposed to know that and be ready for it. How many of you like Ultimate Fighting? I do. Okay, how many of you like wrestling? Fake wrestling, Jesse. Oh, sorry. It's not fake. Now, if you know the strength of your opponent, you have to design a strategy, right? If he's thrown in the boxing, then you got to kick his legs under him somehow, right? Right? What? I'm not teaching you moves. I'm not saying I like fighting. I just like watching it, okay? I don't want to get killed. You know, and if there's somebody who's really good, you just play like jiu-jitsu on them and you tie them up into a knot and you disarm them. But before you go into the ring, if you don't want to be embarrassed and knocked out with one punch, I just on CBS a few months ago, there was a guy just ran in and kicked somebody right into the, right like over here and knocked them out in the first time. That guy didn't know his opponent's strength. Knocked him out in one time. That was it. Trust me, CBS didn't like it. The fans didn't like it. In a football game, what do you have to do? You study the team. You watch film. You study the team that you're going to play. You got to know their strength. It's not just going out there. Let's have fun, guys. You study your opponent. And Bible says that the tricks of the enemy, our enemy, are not secret. They are written in the Bible. God already exposed them to you. And he says, just read the Bible and you know where and how he's going to attack you. I want to tell you a story. Have I ever told you a story about Vic and Troy? No? Vic and Troy. Vic, the victory. And Troy, trial. Okay? There's two types of people. Christians, I'm talking Christians in the church. There's those who are always walking in victory. That's called Vic the victory, or Victoria the victory, or Vicky. And there's Terry or Troy the trial. And that person is always in the trial. Every time you speak to them, oh brother, I couldn't make it to church. I'm going through something. Oh, help me, God. Oh, pray for me. All the demons of hell are attacking me. Oh, they're always in trial. They're always going through something. They're never victorious. They're ever always defeated. And not that they do something important for the kingdom of God. Usually, they're just focused on themselves. I'm going through. Oh, you don't know. Nobody knows the trial I've been through, brother. Oh, you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. You never been in my shoes, which is a lie of the devil. That's what the modern psychologist says. Oh, never say it to the person you know what they've been through. What? Bible says all the things people go through are common to men. We all go through. Maybe I don't go through the same situations, but I go through the same thing that you go through, just in a different area. And so this trial, Terry, or Troy the trial, he's always going through the trial. Oh, I'm barely making it. I'm barely making it. Oh, help me. Somebody help me. Oh, will you help me? Always going through something. You know, when you have a car that has a plugged up oil filter, plugged up steering filter, plugged up fuel filter, meaning you're pushing the gas, and as long as you're going down the hill, if you have a plugged up filter, Dylan, what would happen? It's okay, I'll still roll about 35 down the hill, right? You can have a plugged up air filter, fuel filter, whatever filter. It'll still go down the hill. I mean, you take the tires out and put a big enough hill that the car will drive. But crawl down the hill. Right? And even if there's even ground, yeah, it might lose some power, but it'll still, you know, it'll still drive a little bit. But as soon as a little hill comes along, oh, help me. All the demons of hell are attacking me. And you get to 15, 5, and then you go, sorry, Nicole. I'm not. Woo! I heard a story. Lamar told me a story prematurely. Should have waited 2 days. Goes up the hill, and I'm tempted, Nicole. I'm so tempted. For the glory of Jesus. There was a person riding a bike up the hill. They got a lot of speed, and then they thought they could make it over the top, right? And they just got close to the top and started going backwards. And so they always attack that same hill. Not getting cold, but this Troy or Terry, he always goes up this hill, but he never makes it. And he thinks that all the demons of hell are attacking him as though he's doing something so important for the kingdom. The demons of hell. Yeah, they might be attacking Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or some of those guys out there. They might be attacking them. What are you doing? Not doing much to even fight with that. Right? Because what? You got to get into the shop. And you got to change your filters. You got to blow out, but you don't have time for that. You know what the shop is? Filling station? The church. You have to stop by once in a while and have your filters changed and oil changed. But I don't have time. I'm busy. I'm going through things. Right? I mean, the obvious thing is come on and change the filter. Fill yourself with the Word of God. That's the fuel. Right? Get into the church, because you might not know how to change your filter, but people do know how to change a filter. We got mechanics here. Spiritually speaking. David says, He restores my soul. That's all it is. It's just you need some restoration. When you go into the world, life beats you up. Life just does beat you up in the world. But guess what? God wants to restore your soul. And David says, restore me, God, for I have sinned. Sin makes us degrade on the inside. And so David says, restore me, for I have sinned. He knows what makes us deteriorate. So he says, restore me. I repent, restore me. Healing. And so this Terry or Troy, the trial, just never goes anywhere. Climbs up on a little hill, and then he goes back. Then he stays there for a while, and he tries again. Come on, just change your oil, change your filter. Get the Word of God inside of you. Begin to confess it. Get some speed up, and you'll pass the trial. However, there is victory or victoria. She's different. He's different. Their normal cruising speed is about 100 miles per hour, and they just go. Their filter is clean. They're full of fuel, clean fuel, the Word of God. Their oil is changed. Their air filter is good. Their worship is good. Air filter, oh, Jesus. Right? They're full of energy. And so they go about 100. ever seen those people in church? They just always win. They just pass those hills. Not that they don't get attacked. They drive the same hills that you do, that Terry or Troy drives. Everybody drives the same road. Same hills, same valleys, the same everything. It's just what kind of speed do you drive at? Do you keep your tank full? Do you keep your mechanics fixed? Or do you just wait till your car breaks? And that's when you start crying. Oh, and I had to go to work and I lost my job because my car broke. Why? Well, I didn't change the oil for 2 years. But, you know. But somebody told me it's going to be okay, brother. I believe Jesus is going to make it okay. Change the oil, fool. No. Jesus got me. Praise the Lord. God is going to do it. God's going to do it. I don't need to do it. What? God is not going to do it. You're going to need to do it. You're going to need to take the scripture and confess it when the devil says you're nothing. You're worthless. Because that's what those hills are. That's when the resistance comes. When the devil says, you're nobody. You're never going to make it to your dreams. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too short. You're too tall. You grew up in the wrong family. You got an accent. Whatever it is. And what you need to do, he wants to tell you that you're not who God says you are. Listen to me. Devil wants to tell you you're not who God says you are. It even happened to Jesus. Do you know that devil spoke to Jesus just like he speaks to you? He came to him and says, if you are the Son of God. Jill, if you are the daughter of God. That's what he says. If you are a Christian, well why did you mess up here? Well, that's it. It's over for you. No, it's not. You're a liar. You say, all the righteous falls, he will stand up and the Lord will lift him up. But the wicked fall and never get up. Hallelujah. Right? And so the devil says, nobody's ever going to love you. You're not beautiful enough. You're not cool enough. Nobody's ever going to love you. And that's a lie. And you have to say, God loves me. As much as he loves Jesus. And he's going to give me desires of my heart. I'm the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I have been seated in high places, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If the Lord is for me, who can be against me? You have to begin to confess this. Whatever I can believe, I can have. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. And those who bless me will be blessed. And those who talk bad about me will be... That's the Bible! Help me out here. You got to stop believing the devil. And if God says I'm forgiven, devil, don't you dare come to me and say, well, you need to repent for another way. Because this sin, you have to repent this way. No. If God says I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. And so demons... How they work is they come to your mind and they begin to talk to you. Say, you stupid. Where did that come from? Oh, poor me, people. Nobody goes through what I went through. Come on, that's devil. You know, speaks to you in your mind, right? You're special. You go through things that are because of your great anointing call. See, devil is a liar. Everybody goes through pretty much the same things. Because you could say, well, Jesus, you didn't sin, so you never went through anything. How can you understand me? The Bible says Jesus is able to understand you without sinning like you. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to Satan, smart ass. Ass. Smart ass. Smart as another devil. Anyway, he comes to Jesus and says this. If you're the Son of God, right? Look how the devil likes to provoke. He says, if you're the Son of God, then do something illegal. You're so good. Why don't you try sinning and see if you're strong enough? I'll be out. Right? Well, side with bacon and whatever those croutons. He can do that. But on the earth, things happen naturally. And so Jesus is going to break that. That has to be coming from the Father, not from the devil. Now, if God says, make these rocks, if God says, make these stones of bread, guess what? Do that. But if the devil tells you, make these stones bread, they stand behind you, Satan. Right? We don't do what the devil tells us to do, when it even sounds good. Do you remember how he came through Peter to Jesus? Jesus said, I have to be killed. I have to suffer. He prophesied. He told his disciples about his death. And Peter got courage and self-strength or whatever it was. And he said, Jesus, you will not go and die. I will not let you. And Jesus said, stand behind me, Satan. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, not you. Notice, Peter said it, but Jesus spoke to Satan. So who gave Peter those thoughts? Satan. That's how he works. See, a lot of us think that Satan himself, a huge monster, will come to us in the middle of the night and whisper in our ear what we have to do evil. No. He whispers it every day. And if you allow him, the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Where? In your mind. The warfare, the battle happens in your mind. That's what the Bible says. Take it, renew your mind by the word of God. Fill yourself with this Holy Scripture. Holy in, holy out. Amen? Hallelujah. Satan likes to come to you as soon as you have a little pain. He says, that's a tumor.
I have a tumor.
Shut up. Go to the doctor if you have a pain in your body. That's okay. That's normal. But don't walk in fear. I have a tumor. I think I'm going to die early. And a lot of you young people say that. I probably won't live until past 21. We all said that. Come on. When I was young, I was like, no, Tony. Come on, now you're older, so now you're good. We're going to live as long as God gives us life. Because it's a blessing to live. And see our children's children. And pass our wealth, generational wealth, to our children and children. Amen. It's a blessing. That's how Satan talks. As soon as you have a little pain in your body, instead of saying, Satan will never say, go and believe for healing. He says, no, that's terminal. That's it. It's over. No doctor can help you. And God, forget about it. God, you never know with God. You never know what God is going to do, brother. Yeah, you do. What he says in his word. Now, 99% of the time, he'll probably do what he says in his word. But there's times when he doesn't do it, and we give him permission because he's sovereign. Right? Right? He doesn't make mistakes. If he doesn't heal you in this life, guarantee 100% he'll heal you in the next life. Right? That's it then. Case closed. But don't believe the devil that, oh, it's too late. As soon as you have a little fight with your wife, if you're married, guess what? The devil will come and say to you, that's it, start planning for a divorce. That's it, start saving money. Don't bring you're for sure not going to make it. That's the devil. And both partners are entertaining it. And guess what? Both are not trusting each other. And as both are not trusting each other, then they're both falling apart. And divorce is inevitable. And that's why we teach you this stuff so you don't have a divorce. Now, your parents might have a divorce. And you know how painful it is. We're not condemning them. We don't know what they went through. But we don't want you to go through. We want you to make the right decisions. We want you to marry the right person. The Bible says you can marry anybody only as long as they're a believer. We want you to make those right decisions. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, the devil says you're not smart. Listen, to fulfill your calling in life, you only need to know that one thing you're called to do. If a mother who's pregnant, right, Because you didn't finish high school.
Hold it, hold it.
How smart is that? Doesn't matter how many grades you finished, right? It's natural. It's your destiny, women, to give birth to babies. You don't have to even finish one grade and you'll still give birth to the baby. You don't have to read and you still give birth to a baby. Why? Because it's your destiny, and if it's your destiny, then God gives you ability to fulfill that destiny. The race is not to the swift, to the fast ones. And riches are not to the wise. The Bible says destiny is for them all. Time and chance. Sometimes I used to get mad because people looked at me and they would despise and say, you don't deserve to be rich. You don't deserve to be blessed like you are. I've had people say it to my face. And first I was mad at them, but then I agreed. I'm not that smart. I'm not that educated. But it's not that. If the anointing of God is upon your life, then Jesus, he wasn't the smartest. He didn't finish the most classes in school. Brother didn't even go to school. All you learned was from the Bible and synagogue on Saturdays. And he changed the world. Stop believing the devil that you can't do it. You're nobody. Look what your gifts are. Discover the God's plan for your life and follow it and do only that and do only that. And you are going to be able to do it. Because I can do all things that I'm called to do. Can man give birth to a baby? No, so man cannot be babies, right? So what does it mean actually? Can I do all things? Because one man told me, he says, I can do all things. I said, can you give birth to a baby? Well, on Oprah. Come on. That was a woman who made himself into a guy and then changed everything and says, come on, that's stupid. No, you can't do all things. You're not Superman. But guess what? You can do that thing that you are called by God to do. So you can fulfill your destiny with ease. Going 100 miles and some hills slowing down to about 75, but still. See, a lot of people claim that scripture, but they don't understand what it means. I can do all things that I'm called to do. What are you called to do then? No, you're not called to do everything. You're skinny and short. You're probably not going to be a boxer. Probably not. But you might be Bill Gates. Help me out here. You might be Steve Jobs. Right? You look at yourself. Look within you. Everything is already within you. How do unbelievers discover their purpose? They don't pray to God. What do they do? What do unbelievers do to discover their purpose? They look inside themselves. Where am I good? What's my gift? Focus on your strength. Don't focus so much on your weakness, right? And do that and exceed in that. And listen, before you get to your purpose, there are steps. Some of you don't like the job you're in, but that's only a step. Do you know that I used to work, when I was 15, I lied about my age. And I got a job in a restaurant as a dishwasher at Oaks Restaurant and Motel. Yeah, I did. I did. I just didn't bring in my
that too,
but no, they didn't need that. That's racial profiling. No. Anyway, and so my driver's license was security. I just like, I'll bring it later. And they were so unorganized there. It was like, okay, you're the best dishwasher there is, and so we don't care about your, you know. Yeah, you don't have any hair yet on your body. You say you're 16, but you're still, compared to other guys, you're like,
you look 12.
You look 12, yeah. And so I worked there for a year and a half, guys, and I became the best dishwasher that there was. I mean, I would just do crazy things, and they would call me like all these different names, you know. And anyway, they would have nicknames for me for dishwashing, you know. And so I became good. And guys, washing dishes and pans that had those naked, stuck on in a neat. You have to soak him first, and you have to take the big thing, and big tubs, and plates, and everything. You have to wash that. I mean, sometimes we would have a convention of 1,000 people, and you have to wash 1,000 of everything. Glasses, cups, cup holders, salad plates, main dinner plates. I mean, everything. And guys, I became the best at it. I was the best. I could say I was the best. Not pride. I'm not saying it pride. There's nothing to be proud of, right? Dishwasher. Nothing to be proud of, okay? Became the best. Then I got hired at Citibank, and I was in their mailroom, and I became the best there. To the point where they would bring video cameras, and they would point them at me from different branches, from Nevada and somewhere else on the East Coast. And they would put video cameras, and they would record me. How do I do so much mail in 1 hour? Because it's judge, you know, it's by the hour. And then God brought me into another place, to a sales position, and I worked there, and I became the best at that. And God, at 17, helped me open a business. And now for 14 years, I'm getting best there. Listen, God starts you in small places. The Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. Say it. Do not despise small beginnings. You might be a dishwasher, but you're not. You have a destiny. And that dishwasher place will help you stand there and work your willpower. How do you not quit when you want to quit? I mean, wash the dishes after an hour, and you have to go 10 hours sometimes till it's done. You have to be there till it's done, sometimes 3 in the morning. I would start like at 4:35 and go till 3 in the morning. That's a long time. And you want to quit, and God says, don't quit. Okay, God. And I would cry. Some days I'd be raking bees in my business when I opened it, and I had to do a lot of cleanups in the fall. I'd be raking bees and complaining to God. I know I'm supposed to do something else with my life. This sucks, God. You got to shut up and rake. And guys, raking is just a common thing. If you ever done raking, I just hate breaking. Especially leaves, and the wind blows them still, and you have to chase them, and the lady goes like, this But see, God won't leave you there. That's just the place of your training. He moves you. And some of you have been on the job site for 2 months, and as soon as things get hard, you're like, I quit. Too hard. Boss is stupid. This is stupid. No. Boss could be stupid. David had to serve a king who wanted to kill him. And God put him to that king. Why do you think God put King David, young king, to be under, to have a mentor like Saul who wanted to kill him? Hey, there was Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. Put him by the Samuel. God says, no. Samuel's not good enough. I need to teach David something from King Saul, because David is going to be king. Are you getting this? So don't despise small beginnings. Continue, and there's greatness in your future. Now, don't allow the devil to deceive you the other way. Don't allow him to tell you, you're a boxer, and you just don't like boxing, you don't like to be hit on the face. And the devil says, well, you need to believe to be a boxer. That's self-deception too. Discover who you are. The Bible says, do not think of yourself higher than your faith. Just look at yourself. You don't have to believe hard for this. It's already here. Do you need to believe for that? No, it's already here. Your gifts are already inside of you. You don't have to believe it. It's already there. That's faith, Paul. But you don't have to believe it. It's already there. You believe it. I mean, you know it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching today, but I have to finish because some of you are like, sit down, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The biggest, and I'm almost done, the biggest assignment of the devil is to steal your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you have joy, the enemy hates you, but they can do nothing about it. You walk in a room of your enemies and you're like, hey, everybody doing? They fear you. But as soon as you walk in a room and you're like, oh, please don't walk in. says something. Oh, didn't you do that? And it didn't work?
In front of everyone.
You know how it is.
We've got to walk in joy. And when the devil tries to bring depression, and depression comes from what? Self-pity.
I'm going through stuff. My life is so horrible.
It's extended self-pity. You're so self-pitiful when you get depressed.
So whenever you get depressed, it's self-pity, which is a form of pride. I deserve better, but I won't get better. I won't do nothing about it. And so I'd rather be depressed than get up. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. It didn't say that God is going to be strong for you. He says, get up and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His mind. If you can't do a job, pray and say, God, give me strength to finish this. If you feel like your body is giving up, say, God, give me the strength of a young person. That's what the promises are in the Bible. His youth is renewed like an eagle. God promises to renew you. Even when you get old, He says, I'll renew you and give you strength. Remember Abraham? Old man fighting wars. Remember Joshua, 80 years old. Caleb, 80 years old, doing great things for God, fighting with swords. Bible says about Moses that his strength at 40 was the same strength at 80. And the same strength at 80 that was at 120. His eyesight was still good. Everything. Read that scripture. God can renew your youth. I know some of it sounds like, but I live it. Listen to me. I live it. And I want to live more. I'm not there yet. No. But I'm going there. The devil can bring anxieties into your life. Sometimes you don't even know why they're there. It'll trigger something inside of you. That's fear. Something is triggering you. Steal your joy. Andre, I have a word for you. Don't let anybody steal your joy. There is something that's connected, something that just grabbed you the last few weeks that just robbed you of your joy. Don't let it. Don't let it steal your joy. It's your freedom. You're 100% in your calling. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. So rejoice in it. Don't just say, well, someday God is going to do something. Today He's doing it. You're in His plan. So begin to rejoice. A lot of times what happens when you walk in your calling, you focus so much energy on that and you forget that your calling is your job. But when you come home, your calling doesn't affect you. You're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to enjoy life. You can afford a boat, then get a boat. Go, you know, fishing or whatever. Calling is just your job. And then what? What do you have to find? You don't have to think about your job. God wants to give you life to the fullest. Don't let it steal your joy. Enjoy your life. And your freedom will be better than wine. Your freedom will be better than wine can give you, or weed can give you, or pot, or anything can give you. Seriously. Seriously. Hallelujah. Bible says that nothing even about spiritual warfare will happen to you. This is what it says. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking around, seeking whom he may devour. He says this, resist him in faith, and he will flee from you. So when the devil tells you to resist, please, young people, when the devil says you're not beautiful, say, that's not true, devil. I don't receive that. I am. 20s, 30s. The devil says, you'll never make it in this life. Say, I will. There's a great future ahead of me. I'm blessed. Father, fathers and mothers with devil's new kids will not be saved, or devil's going to steal your kids.
He said, no,
the devil is a liar. My kids will serve the Lord.